You couldn't get redeemed by an angel, couldn't die for you or for me. A goat couldn't do it. These Jamaicans, they like this curried goat. But no goat.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, we broke where Pastor Brian Grant was stressing to us how important it is to be convinced from Scripture about the person of Jesus, the only Savior and Sovereign Lord. In the concluding part of this message, we will hear the second and third of 3 points, three things we must know and be convinced of if we are to be solid in our faith about just who Jesus is. Here again is Pastor Grant with part two of Who is Jesus?
Calen Hurst is a major threat, whether he's what? Running the ball or passing. He is a major threat. But how many of you know the name Gardner Minshew? Look at them. Look at them. Even the sports. So let me help you out. Gardner Minshew is the Eagles' backup quarterback. Oh, you learned something at church this morning, didn't you? Gardner, so if Jalen Hurst goes down, you will say, I heard it at GCA. Gardner Minshew will be coming in. So if you were picking a team, who would you pick? Would you pick Jalen Hurst or Gardner Minshew? Well, it's a silly question, because I know you'd say, I don't need no backups. I want the real deal. I want Jalen Hurst, the one who can run the ball and pass the ball. But do you know, the reason that many people, even some Christians, think of Jesus as a backup? I want to have a relationship with God the Father. I've heard people say, I believe in God. I believe in God the Father. I just don't believe in Jesus. Because as far as they're concerned, Jesus is just a backup. And they don't want to have nothing to do with the backup. But they miss the fact Jesus is not a backup. You can never have a relationship with God the Father unless you are a involved with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen, look at Colossians chapter 1 with me, verses 15 to 18, as it speaks about who he is. He says, he, Jesus Christ, this one who you may think is a backup, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Did you realize the one that made everything is Jesus? Everything that's in heaven and on earth, not only the things that are on earth, everything in heaven was made by him. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and are for him, and he is before all things. Pause there, because here is somebody listening to me and said, but Jesus just started as a baby in the manger. No, no, no. Jesus, the Bible says, he took on flesh. That was his incarnation. What happened in the manger was his incarnation when he took on flesh. But Jesus Christ ever was. He is before all things, the Bible says. And in him, all things consist. He holds everything together. No wonder that song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. Because everything consists and held together by the power of his word. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This week, Pastor Peters quoted C.S. Lewis in the weekly pastor's update. And listen to the quote from C.S. Lewis that he included. It says, once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. Did you read that little line? Once in our world, this is what happened when Jesus was born in the manger. Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. The baby born that first Christmas was certainly bigger than our whole world, for he made everything that's in heaven and on earth. So some of you may be a bit perplexed by now and wondering if I'm suggesting that Jesus is superior to God the Father. So let's see if we can answer the question. Is Jesus superior or inferior? Well, let's see. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, so the God that is, as it means, it opens, it's really saying, God the Father, who at various times spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So who made the world? If I was to ask you who made the world, it actually is answered right there in verse 2. Did you see that? It says, God the Father, verse 2, made the world through whom he made the worlds. It's through his Son. Verse 8 to 12, let's continue reading. And as we read, don't miss how God the Father refers to his Son in verse 8 to 12. But to the Son, God the Father says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Let's pause there. There are so many who doubt and have a hard time accepting that Jesus Christ is God. But listen to what the Father says. You see, the Father and the Son are equal. And here's what the Father says of the Son. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, God the Father speaking, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. All and the heavens are the work of your hands. Sometimes we have the wrong impression of who Jesus is. God the Father is saying, you were the one who laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your handiwork. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. The song says what? Yesterday. Today what? Forever what? Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen. Jump over to John's Gospel chapter 1, if you would. This is such an important thing. I want to make sure you see at least a few verses about what God has to say as we talk about who is Jesus. John 1, 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No one has seen God. But through the incarnation, Jesus Christ has revealed God the Father to us. Amen. Thank God for this little baby. This little baby born in that manger revealed God the Father to us. I like how Dr. Warren Wiersbe puts it. So I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father's being. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father's being. This is why Jesus Christ could say, if you have seen me, what? You have seen the Father, because he is the exact representation of the Father's being. Add this to your notes. Although no one can see God, the Father, who is invisible, all who saw Jesus saw the visible manifestation of the invisible God and thereby saw God. Amen? Everyone who saw Jesus saw God. First, Jesus Christ is supreme, is the supreme Lord. Second, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And third, Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer. I shared with you once before that Thomas Jefferson, in his later life, produced what's called the Jefferson Bible. You remember hearing about the Jefferson Bible? It's actually in the Library of Congress. And like many today, Thomas Jefferson believed that Jesus was a great teacher, but nothing more. And so here's what Jefferson did to support his view of God, of who Jesus was. Thomas Jefferson went through the Bible and cut out any references that would suggest that Jesus was anything more than a great teacher. So, for example, in the Jefferson Bible, the Gospel of Luke begins with chapter 2. All right? The Gospel of Luke in Thomas Jefferson's Bible begins with chapter 2, but even chapter 2, he had to leave out quite a few things. He had to leave out anything that pointed to the fact that Jesus came to earth specifically to save us from our sin. All those points are gone. So since we won't find it in the Jefferson Bible, would you mind if I turn to my Bible and tell you what it actually says? In Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. I'm only going to read a few verses there in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Let's read from verse number 8. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the fields, in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel, Jefferson Bible couldn't have that, said, don't believe in angels. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid, totally missing from his Bible. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. That is missing in Jefferson's Bible. No Savior was born in his Bible. But aren't you glad? A Savior was born. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. This will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I'm so glad God has sent us a Savior, the incarnation, actually took place. And in the incarnation, God took on flesh. Amen? Now, I don't want you to think that God took on flesh just like me or you. But there was a big difference. You see, we are sinners. But a sinful God had come into this world without sin, eventually to die for our sins. There are three essential requirements that our Redeemer must have paid. And we remember now, we're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer. There's three essential requirements I want to share before I sit down. Number one, we needed a human Redeemer. You couldn't get redeemed by an angel, couldn't die for you or for me. A goat couldn't do it. These Jamaicans, they like this curried goat. But no goat, no cow, no animal could stand in our place. We needed a redeemer, and our redeemer had to be a human redeemer. But you'll soon see we needed a sinless redeemer. And the problem is there is nowhere to find a human that's sinless. Amen. Am I right about that? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Just make sure you see these scriptures, because somewhere somebody's going to ask you, you're going to have to give a defense of your faith at some point along the line. And I hope some of the scriptures we're looking at this morning will help you to be able to give a defense of your faith as to why you believe that Jesus Christ is the only God and the only Redeemer and the only Savior, and that He is God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death. Notice it. Just like we have flesh and blood, He, God, had to share in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, listen good, this is good. Are you with me? Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He had to be made like His brethren. Verse 18. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. We needed a human Redeemer. And thank God, Jesus Christ became man for the likes of us. But we needed a sinless Redeemer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, I can't die for you. You can't die for me. Because all of us have a sin problem. But thank God, there is only one human being that was ever born. Now, let's not think that Jesus was not fully human. Jesus is not just some person who appeared to be human but was not. He was human. Amen? Amen. He had flesh. Did He have flesh? Amen. They say, handle me and see. Amen. He had bones. Amen. He had blood. He had emotions. He cried. He cared. He was real. Just imagine God caring enough for folks like you and me that God, the supreme God, is willing to limit Himself to die in our place. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He made Him who what? Him who knew no sin. Jesus never, ever sinned. Every now and then some fallacious nonsense comes out suggesting that Jesus was a sinner and that He had relationships with this person and with that person. Young people, when you hear that trash, hold on to what the Bible says, that Jesus knew no sin. He could not sin. So there was a big debate among theologians some years ago. Could Jesus have sinned? Some of you remember that big debate. Sometimes we love arguing over foolishness. Could Jesus have sinned? Because the argument was Jesus could have sinned, but didn't. No, Jesus could not have sinned because there is absolutely nothing in him that would be attracted to sin. Oh, I hope you get me this morning. There was nothing in Jesus that sin could attract. He did not sin, and he could not sin. He was human, but he was like us, but he wasn't us. Amen? Him who knew no sin, but God made him sin. All the sin of the entire human existence was poured out upon Jesus on the cross. Him who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Have you received Jesus yet? We needed a human redeemer. We needed a sinless redeemer. And we needed a willing redeemer. You know, if Jesus wasn't willing, he could do the bill. The question is, was he willing? Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show, Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Man, he knew all that was facing him, but he was such a willing substitute. Amen? He's telling them all that's up ahead. So look at what Peter says. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This will not happen to you." But he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, the things of men." He was not only a willing redeemer, despite those who would try to encourage him not to pay the price. He was a determined redeemer. Amen? He was determined to redeem us from our sin. Why? Song says, why? Why did they nail him to Calvary Street? Why? Tell me, why was he there? Jesus, how the song goes, Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why? Tell me, why was he there? All my iniquities on him were laid. He bore them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus has paid the penalty for all my sin. As a little boy, I came to Jesus. I'm rejoicing that I know him. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? If you don't, you can receive him right now. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.